of the promises of God, so one day we can live in perpetuity with God forever by and by. I'm thankful to Brother Mitchell and his wonderful wife for the invitation to come back again to Jamaica. I'm thankful to the membership and the leadership here at the Patrick City Church for entrusting me to share and carry this message about Jesus. Good to see so many here from the island, some who I met last time I was here, and I'm glad that you've come also to support this great work. Brother Mitchell has said enough about me, so let me now talk about Jesus. Meet me in the 23rd division of Psalm. The 23rd division of Psalm. And we'll meet at verse number 1. Psalm 23, verse number 1. When you find yourself there, let's be standing for the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and infallible word. Psalm 23, beginning at verse number 1. I know it's a long pericope that most of us know by heart, but if you allow me, I just want to unpack the first 4 verses. Psalm 23, beginning at verse number 1, the Bible reads as such: "The Lord is my shepherd." That's an hour of preaching right there. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want, or I lack nothing. Verse 2 says, "He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He refreshes or restores my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk," or the NIV says, "even though I walk through the darkest valley," or the valley of the shadow of death, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." If you have some time this evening, I want to speak from the topic, 5 flippant words. 5 flippant words. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Let us go to God in prayer. Heavenly, kind, and gracious Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for what was, what is, and what will be, as long as we keep our hand in your unchanging hand. Father God, be with everyone under the sound of my voice, Father. Open their minds, their hearts, their spirits, their souls, and yes, even their ears, to hear a word coming straight from you via your manservant. At this time, be with your manservant, Father. Help me to stand flat-footed and firm upon your word. Not my thoughts or feelings or ideology or psychology, but let your word be true and every man a liar. Father, this time forgive me of my personal sin, Father. And upon my repentant heart, Father, I pray that you write your words that you want spoken to us, your people. Father, at this time allow me as dirt to speak to dirt, that we might all clean up our dirty ways. Father, bless the word. Father, bless your servant. Father, bless us all as your children. All these things we ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 5 flippant words. Here recently in the United States and in the Caribbean, we have been plagued with many a storm. And in every instance of storm, scores of people have had to seek shelter and safety. But ladies and gentlemen, aside from the many hurricanes that recently threatened the terrain, there's still one truth that remains. And that truth is that there is a storm out on the ocean, and it's moving this way. And if your soul is not anchored in Jesus, it will truly drift away. I want to remind someone here in Jamaica that there is a place of safety and refuge from the storms and situations of life, and that place is in the house of the Lord. And man should not have to wait for the lightning to flash and the thunder to roll and the waters to rise in his life to then seek safety. For true safety is only found in the security of the Savior. So I encourage you even now to run to the Savior and seek him and him alone as your primary shelter. The composer projects it best when he says, life's evening sun is sinking low, and in a few more days we all must go to meet the deeds that we have done, where there will be no setting sun. While safety is found in the Savior, this safety only comes after one's submission. And church, one's spiritual submission must be structured around the fact that regardless of what we face or who we face in any place, that the Lord is our shepherd. Five words. The Lord is our shepherd. These are words that man should not speak in flippancy. These are words that man should not speak as if they are generic, but rather there's power in those five words for the child of God. Regardless of what we face or who we face in any place, somebody ought to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. This is a statement not only of celebration, but also submission. And as soon will be proven, some of us speak these words in faith, while others speak them in flippancy. The Lord is my shepherd is more than just funeral flowetry, but rather for the child of God, it's a rallying cry. Especially in times of desperation, discouragement, and despondency. We typically like to go to Psalm 23 for our shout. But let's see here why David might have had a reason to pout. Here, this poet is at a point where he is displaced from his family and has been relegated to being a religious refugee. He's on the outs with his in-laws and now running as a fugitive of the law. And it's here that God uses a real man to talk about real life. Y'all looking at me funny. It's here that God uses a real man to talk about real life. Here a real man talks from real experience. God could have used and made this particular psalm or prophecy and could have made it fall from an angelic being. But then we would say that everything that David says is merely theory. But David says the Lord is my shepherd is a fact, not just in my life, but it ought to be in your life. David says if you trust God, if you trust God, if you trust God, then in this poetry you'll find the actuality that if you stick with God, God will lead you, God will feed you, God will protect you, God will direct you, and God will never neglect you. David says, I'm not composing about something that I heard, I'm talking about what I know. And everything that I know about God can be encapsulated in five words. The Lord is my shepherd. Verse 1 of Psalm 23. I told the audience this morning, if you're hearing me for the first time, the Bible is so rich that it can be enjoyed word for word. So meet me as we go word for word. The Lord is my shepherd. But that's five words. Let's break that down. The Lord. Jeremy, what is the pre-qualification or prerequisite for one to fulfill the post of this psalmatic shepherd? Understand, in order for one to be my shepherd, number one, he must be the Lord himself. And not just any variation of the Lord, but rather he must be Yahweh or Jehovah. Yahweh, being the Hebraic term, is important here because Yahweh speaks to an existent and an eternal God. I'm so glad that God's in my life, but the God in my life is just not any type of God. He's an existent God, and he is an eternal God, meaning what? No matter what I go through, he's right there next to me because he is existent, and not only is he next to me today, he's not going anywhere tomorrow because he's Yahweh, he's existent, and he's eternal. Therefore, he can be my shepherd. It's the same Yahweh who in Genesis 2 and 4 created the heavens and the earth. It's the same Yahweh who in Genesis 2 and 7 formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. It's the same Yahweh who practically and linguistically crossed his children across the Red Sea and the Jordan River. It's the same Yahweh who then turned to Joshua and says, I took Moses only so far. Now it's your turn to be strong and courageous. It's the same Yahweh or Jehovah in my life that guides my steps and fights my battles and calms my fears and dries my tears. I wish I had an amen under the tent tonight. It's the same God in our life that if we accept him and surrender to him, he will serve as an ever-present shepherd who was, who is, and who forevermore will be. He'll be with me today, church, like he used to be with my grandmama. And for all the grandmamas in the house, the same way God was with you, he'll be with your grandbaby even in the year of 2018. If I had time for a commercial break, I would say, church, there's nothing new that God can't lead us through. There's nothing new that God can't lead us through. Times have changed, but truth has not. Systems have changed, but the Savior has not. Laws have changed, but the Lord has not. And no matter the travail, no matter the trouble, no matter the tribulation, God is still our shepherd, and he will guide us to, guide us through, and yes, even guide us out. That's why it took one representative of the Godhead, being Jesus Christ himself, to say in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. God says, not only am I qualified for the title of shepherd, but I'm also qualified for you to trust me as your shepherd. Why do you get to be my shepherd, O Lord? God says, I'm your shepherd because I am the one who watches over you in the day and the night. I'm the one who looks over you and provides for your hurts, your hang-ups, your spots, and your blemishes. I'm the one who makes sure that you're satisfied and sustained. I'm the one who makes sure that you're protected. I don't sleep. But if I did, I would do it with one eye and both ears open. And whether you want to admit it or not, we all need a shepherd. If you're visiting with us for the first time, you need to know that you need a shepherd. If you've been in the church of our Lord for a long time, you need to know that we all need a shepherd who is guiding you on tonight. Everybody needs a shepherd. The rich need a shepherd. The poor need a shepherd. The blacks, the whites, the Chinese need a shepherd. The gay need a shepherd. The straight need a shepherd. Give me some script with that lip. I'm so glad you asked. Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 6 says, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own way. And the Lord has laid on him. Who's the him? The him is Jesus. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Meaning what? It's Jesus who upon whom was laid my sin, my shame, and my guilt. So the question is, if my sin, my shame, and my guilt is on my shepherd, then why am I still carrying it around? Why can I not surrender unto God what has already been subjected upon him? That was the Lord. Third word there is ears. The Lord ears. Understand that ears is not clarified in the original language. If you're here for the first time, understand the Bible, though you're reading it in English, was written in Hebrew, in Greek, and some parts Aramaic. When we're looking here at Psalms, we're looking at Hebrew literature. It's important that in English there are 5 words. In Hebrew there are 4. The Lord ears. Hold on, there's no ears clarified in Hebrew. But it must be there for our English linguistic rubric. But Hebraically, this text does not have an ears. Therefore, it's David speaking directly to God. And what David is doing is directly ascribing his function to his name. He's saying, the Lord, my shepherd. The Lord is who he is. My shepherd is what he does. I'm so glad that God is who he is, but I'm more glad that God does what he does. The Lord, my shepherd. Meaning what? He ain't my genie. Some of us only trust God as our genie. We wait till we get in trouble. We want to go rub the lamp and ask for 3 wishes. And God say, you ain't been with me all this time. If I'm going to be your shepherd, you got to be with me on the mountain and in the valley. You got to be with me on a good day and a bad day. If I'm going to really shepherd you, I got to take you to some places. But I also got to take you through some places. The Lord is what? Mine. Oh, no, you're going too fast. He's mine. Mine. You can't get excited about the shepherd till you understand whose shepherd he is. He's my shepherd. My is personal pronoun. Can I tell you something that you may already know? There will come a time in your life where the Lord will move from being the shepherd to being your shepherd. Has somebody in here struggled to the point to where you know that God is your God no matter what's going on around you? And you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. David says, I wrote this not from expectancy, but experience. David, after being in Jesse's house, was the shepherd. Here now he is the sheep. The preaching point is, no matter where we find ourselves before God, we have to remind ourselves who we are in God. And in God, everybody in here is totally dependent. We are sheep. He is shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. This entire text emanates from this prolific phrase. The rest of this psalm illustrates how and why he's our shepherd. But first you must know that he is our shepherd. This list of provisions through verses 2 through 5 is a prescriptive list and not a restrictive list. Yes, God is one who provides for food, provides for water, provides for safety, provides protection from our enemies, but that's just some of what God does. David says, I gave you a prescriptive list and not a restrictive list. But what David is trying to prove in Psalm 23 is that God is a God who meets all of my needs. And God meeting all of my needs means he doesn't just meet my tangible needs, but he also meets my latent needs. He's a God that doesn't just put food on my table, but he also puts faith in my spirit. He's a God who doesn't just give me money, but he also gives me mercy. He's a God who gives me a job, but he's the same God who gives me joy. He's still a doctor in the sick room, a lawyer in the courtroom, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The Lord is my shepherd is a message that somebody needs to hear tonight. The Lord is my shepherd is a message for somebody who needs to let go and let God. The Lord is my shepherd is a word that works even when things are not working out for us. This is a reminder to us that even when we're depressed and distressed and dismayed, that the Lord is our shepherd. There's somebody here this evening that is discouraged. And if you're real with yourself, you just want to give up. You want to give up on God, give up on your marriage, give up on your children, give up on your job, your health, your someone's caretaker. You want to give up on that. Somebody may even want to give up on life itself. And you and I need to be reminded that the Lord is your shepherd. This is a psalm of resignation, meaning what? I am done running my own life. And for someone here, whether you're in the church or not, you need to understand that you don't run nothing. The only reason you're still moving and living and breathing is because of the grace and mercy and watch care of God. You, I, we must be done running our own life. It's time for us to put it in the hands of someone else. It's time for us to understand that we need a shepherd. This is a psalm of cataclysmic commitment and clairvoyant confession. This is more than just a battle cry, but rather it's the signing over of the life of you and I. Understand, for David to pronounce and announce that God is his shepherd means much for him being him and much for us being us. Because shepherds in history not only guide, but they also rule. Shepherds in history were trichotomous or three in nature, as shepherd, ruler, and teacher. Even the kings of that day wanted to be called a shepherd because they understood what it meant to lead their people. So when David is saying the Lord is my shepherd, he's also saying the Lord is my king. And since he is my king, then I bow down to him. Can I tell you something? The entire test of Christianity is fundamentally, is God your shepherd? The entire test of Christianity is fundamentally, is God your shepherd? Christianity at its face is permeated in the phrase, the Lord is my shepherd. I have a question this evening for every man, woman, boy, and girl under this tent. Do you trust the Lord as your shepherd? Do you trust him to lead you, to guide you, direct you, and protect you? Do you hear and respond to his voice? Is the Lord your shepherd? Everybody say, yeah, the Lord's my shepherd. Do you trust him to lead you and guide you, protect you, direct you? Yes. Do you hear the voice of the shepherd? Christianity at its face is, do you hear and follow his voice. And his voice is his word. Do you hear and follow the word of God? Do you hear and follow what is written in the Holy Bible? Because we can't have any other conversation if you do not hear the word of God. Now, if you're here tonight and you're not a member of the body of Christ and you have integrity and you're honest, you have to first admit that the Bible is right. That the word of God is right. That God is speaking on the very pages of inspiration. Now, if we can start there, then the rest of this meeting will be successful. Do you understand that the Lord is your shepherd? Yes. Do you trust him to lead you and guide you, direct you, protect you? Yes. Do you hear his voice? Will you listen to his voice? If the answer is yes, it doesn't matter what Jeremy Flowers says the rest of this week. What God says, will you then follow? This evening, more important than where you go to church or who your quote-unquote minister or pastor or reverend or apostle is, even though half of those titles don't exist. What I want to know is the Lord your shepherd? Because if not, then nothing else matters. But in answering that question, it is pivotal to know that God only has one voice, and those who hear it and follow it are called by one name. The church is often critical and comical about who was at the club last night. But I ask you, is the Lord your shepherd? Yes, you may have swung from bedpost to bedpost and promiscuity. But the question is the Lord your shepherd? And if he isn't, then it's time that you identify with Jesus the Christ on this evening. And if you were with Christ and somewhere along the way you got lost, then it's time for you to get back in line. Why? Because this shepherd is leading us somewhere better than here. And someday soon all of his sheep and his sheepfold will be flocked in his sheep pen. I'm being singular with great specificity and great intentionality. One day soon, all of his sheep that are in his sheepfold will be flocked in his sheep pen. And the door will then be closed for all of eternity. We talked about this morning, there are over 313 different organized religions. God is not the shepherd of 313 different sheep pens. You better figure out where is the Lord's sheep pen. And instead of you being right or me being right, let's look in the book and see what's right. Now, we can argue all day and night about is your church or my church or what name is on the marquee or the sign, but what goes on in Scripture must manifest itself in what goes on in your church. And if you find yourself studying and honest with the Word of God, then you'll find the true church. Well, I'm a good member over here. I'm a good member in the Baptist church or the Pentecostal church or the Seventh-day Adventist church. I'm doing good work. But are you doing good work in his vineyard? Because if you're not working in his vineyard, you can't go to him for your pay. A lot of folk are doing a lot of work, but they're not doing it in the right vineyard. Well, I want to be a sheep for the Lord. I want to be in the right sheepfold. I want to be in the right sheep pen. But once I give my life to Christ after all that I've done and all that I've been, nobody's going to really believe that I've changed. How will people know that I now belong to God? It's not for them to know. It's for God to know. But you know how I know who a Christian is? You know who I know, whose sheep you belong to? Sheep belong to the shepherd who calls after it and they listen. What makes you a child of God, what makes you a sheep and his sheepfold, is do you listen and respond to his voice? Those who are called by his name respond to, okay, you don't like that. I have two little boys. One is 7 years old, one is 5 years old. When I walk into the daycare to pick up my child, I say, come here. There are 30 children in there. Only one child starts moving because he knows my voice. Why does he know my voice? Because I lead him, I guide him, I protect him, I provide for him. If he wants to eat, he got to follow me. Now, there are a whole lot of children in the classroom, but I ain't there to get everybody. I'm only there to get the one who has my name. Therefore, you want to make sure that you follow the shepherd. You want to make sure that you hear his voice. You want to make sure that his name is on your life. Because at the end of time, many will say, Lord, Lord. But those who say, Lord, Lord, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Are you called by his name? Understand, the Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, I shall not want, or I lack nothing. He's the shepherd, therefore I lack nothing. He gives me everything that I need. Therefore, I'm not in want. This phrase succinctly suggests the Lord is really all one needs. Meaning what? I have everything that I need right now. That's a word for somebody tonight. I have everything that I need right now. And see, you're not going to be real with me tonight, but let's be transparent. There's somebody who's worried about something right now. Somebody in here has stayed up late at night wondering about tomorrow. Somebody has been scared out of their mind. Somebody has wondered where the next meal is coming from. Where's the next place we're going to live? Because we're about to lose this place. But everything that I have right now is everything that I need right now. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, that's good preaching. The same way he provided for me to be where I am right now is the same way he's going to provide for me where I'm going. Sheep as animals don't worry about their next meal. They don't worry about what they're going to live tomorrow. They are animalistically programmed to have enough faith in the shepherd. Oh, I can't wait till I get to that place. Because sometimes, even though I stand behind the pulpit and hold the microphone, I get scared too. But it's when I get scared and when I get fearful and when I get nervous that I have to remind myself the Lord is my shepherd. Sheep don't worry. They don't know what the shepherd's going to do. But they have enough sense to follow him until he does it. And it's not until we have the same faith and total dependency on God that we will ever have contentment, knowing that we have everything that we need even right now. That's the God I serve. The God I serve is not only a protector, he's a preparer. He's not only a preparer, he's a provider. Can I move on now to verse 2? Y'all having a good time tonight? That was just verse 1. I told you we like to break things down around here. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. How good is God, Jeremy? Verse 2. What does he do? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Don't rush through that. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He being Yahweh, he being my shepherd, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Ah, let's skip make. We're going to come back to that. He, Yahweh, maketh, I'll come back to that, me to what? Lie down. Meaning what? God, as my shepherd, puts me in a place of rest. If we're following God and trusting in God, he'll give us rest. Church, there is a difference between rest and sleep. That's why you can sleep all night and not have any rest. I wish I had a church in here. The Lord don't give me sleep. He gives me rest. He, Yahweh, maketh, I'm coming back to that, me to lie down. Where? In green pastures. He's taking me to somewhere better. That means it's nutritious grass. Good grass. There's a certain time when where you are, even though you want to be there, the Lord says the grass is getting brown right there. So I got to move you even though you don't want to move. Am I the only one who God has had to move even though I didn't want to move? And God had to start making things uncomfortable in my life. And while I'm saying, God, I like this job. God, I like this relationship. God, I like making this money. God, I like where I am right now. But God is saying, I see the grass getting brown. It's time to move, even if you don't know it. And understand, you don't know it because you're a shepherd, but I'm the shepherd. Will you trust me to be the shepherd, even when you don't understand the logic of a sheep? That went into my notes, but it felt good right there. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. Understand, maketh me. He maketh me. He maketh me lie down. To be a shepherd is not always a good thing. Sometimes discipline is needed. To be a parent, sometimes every day ain't a good day. Sometimes discipline is needed. It's quiet in here. Let the parents say amen. Amen. Now see, I don't know about down here in Jamaica, but I know your American cousins. They try to get away from disciplining their children. That's why they run hog wild. We believe now in America about time out and go stand in the corner and redirect your behavior. I don't believe that in the Flowers house. Amen. You can take a time out once I pull this belt out. I wish I had somebody in here. But God says sometimes I have to discipline you. And see, sheep go astray. That's what they do. That's why the parable speaks volumes when it says that he will leave the 99 for the one. God will let you stray. He will bring you back. God will let you stray. He will bring you back. God will let you stray. He will bring you back. But he's eventually going to say, you know what? You keep straying. Let me make you lie down. So the shepherd will actually take and gently break the sheep's legs to make him lie down. Since you won't stick around. Am I the only one in here who's had to have God break their legs because they won't stay close to him? God is saying, I love you so much. I want you to stay close to me so much. But since you won't, I've had to break your legs. I've had to give you a bad situation so you can appreciate your good situation. God will break your legs. There's somebody in the tent tonight who's had to have their legs broken, and you're wondering why you're going through what you're going through. God is saying, I'm trying to do something in you and with you. Oh, but God is so good. It says in my notes, but it feels good right here. God is so good that even though he breaks my legs and maketh me lie down, he maketh me lie down where? In green pastures. You ain't got enough sense, so I'm going to break you in a better place than where I found you. He maketh me to lie down. I'm having fun tonight. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me. I'm coming back to that later. He leads me beside still waters. Meaning what? Pastures, he gives me food. Water, he gives me drink. Pastures, he gives me rest. Waters, he brings me peace. But it's only once I totally trust in him. Because see, some of us want to be serviced and not shepherded. What else does he do, Jeremy? Verse 3. We almost done, told you. He restores my soul. He restores. Not even my soul yet, but he restores. Back to the sheep imagery. Remember, he is our shepherd. He restores speaks of when a sheep goes cast. Cast meaning what? When a sheep falls on his back. Anybody ever been flat on their back? When he falls on his back. But unlike us, sheep do not have the ability to come off their back onto their feet. A sheep after 3 days or so will die if they remain cast. Therefore, the shepherd in his love will come, turn us back right side on our feet. We serve a God who gives us rest, who gives us peace, who feeds us, who leads us. We serve a God who protects us, who directs us. We serve a God who, even when we fall down, he picks us back up. And not only does he pick us back up, because if I've been down for so long, you put me back on my legs, I still can't walk. So therefore, the shepherd has to support me until I can walk on my own. So God restores me, but what does he restore? My soul, not just my flesh, because sometimes we can bring our body back to church. God is a restorer of the innermost place. When God is done working on me and working in me and working through me, he restores from the inside out. What does he do? He guides me along the right paths. He guides me. In order to have a guide, when you travel to a place you've never been before, you secure the services of a guide. And a guide is only going to take you places where he's been before himself. You feel safe with him because even though you don't know where you're going, he knows where you're going. So when David says, not only is the Lord my shepherd, but he guides me, that means I don't have to worry as I go through this life, because even though I'm at a place I've never been before, the one who's leading me has been here before. And I have faith in him because I trust him to take me only where he's been. Notice what happens through the text. God says, you must learn how to trust me, because there's going to come a time where I test you. But if you don't trust me, then you're going to fail the test. You as a sheep must learn to hear my voice even when you don't see my hand. Because sometimes in life, it's going to get dark, it's going to get foggy, it's going to get hazy. And the only thing you're going to have to guide you is my voice, is my word. That's why even as a child of God, there's been times in my life where I didn't know what to do. What did I do? I then consulted the word of God, because the word of God is the voice of God. And I'm ignorant enough to know that as a sheep, if I just keep following the voice of God, then I'll come to a place of God. He leadeth me along the paths of righteousness. Why does he do it? He does it for his name's sake. I shepherd you. I lead you. I direct you. I protect you. But guess what? It's not all about you. Can I walk around a little bit? I lead you. I guide you. I direct you. I protect you. But it's not about you. I do it for my name's sake. I do it so I can be a healer in the midst of your operating room. I protect you from your enemies so that your enemies will know there's a God that rules in your life. Everything I brought you through, yeah, I do love you, but it wasn't just for you. That miscarriage that you had, I brought you through it. Why? For me. It's for my name's sake. That money situation that you had, but now you have enough money, it's about me. When my children go to school and they go without lunch money, they go without their homework, or they tend to always forget stuff. Then they got to call and say, can you bring it to me? And for some reason, they don't call their mama. Because their mama has a real job. Say amen, you can. So they believe I preach full time at the church. I don't have a real job. But their mama said, call your mama. Oh, she has a job. She's busy. I'm a preacher. I'm busy. Well, yeah. Bring me something. Get me something. Give me something. And you don't want to go down to the school and do nothing for them. But you go down there, mad, jaws tight, and they say, thank you for doing this for me. And you say, I'm not doing this for you. But if you don't have your homework, if you don't have your lunch money, it looks bad on not you, but I came to help you not for your name's sake, but for my name's. God says, I've been doing things in your life. It ain't about you. It's for my name's sake. But see, you have to learn how to trust me and follow me because you want to and not because you're forced to. When children are small and somebody gives your child something, you have to tell them to what? Say thank you. And you force them. You say thank you. And you do that because one day you hope that they will become thankful. And one day you won't have to tell them to say thank you anymore. They'll just know how to say thank you. God, as your shepherd, will bring you to situations where he makes you do stuff. But he's really trying to bring you to a place that you do stuff all because you know who he is. I want you to trust me. I want you to mature in me. I want you to develop in me. Why? Because I'm your shepherd. You're walking behind me. You're walking beside me. But guess what? Every time in this shepherding relationship ain't going to be a good day. Therefore, I take you through good times so you won't leave me in bad times. Verse 4, let's close this thing. So you'll be back here tomorrow under the tent. Not enough folks said amen. So you'll be here tomorrow under the tent. Yea, or even though I personal walk through the valley. Yea, though I, because it's going to be you. But guess what? Walk. Don't miss that. Underline that. Circle it with a pen, a pencil, a highlighter, some lip liner. Put it on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat. Say, honey, sometimes you gotta walk. See, a lot of us like to run through stuff. And that's why we don't learn nothing. David says, I gotta walk through this valley of this shadow of death. Stop trying to hurry up, child of God. Learn how to walk. You're trying to run through, but guess what? If you run through, you're going to have to run through it again. Because though you labored through, you didn't learn from. God is a healer. God's a provider. God's a deliverer, but God is a teacher. He's a teacher. Yea, though I walk, what? Through. Thank God for the through. The same God who leads me in will also take me out. I'm glad for the through, but I can't run through it. I gotta walk through it. And then be able to say, Lord, it's all right. No matter how long I'm here, you're my shepherd. You got me here. You'll get me through it. You'll take me out. But make sure while I'm in here, I'm learning some stuff as I walk. I want to look around and see what it looks like. Number one, so I can be delivered. Number two, so that when I can get out, I can tell somebody else what's in there. Because I walk through it, honey. Oh, I wish I had a parent in here who don't want a child to replicate your mistakes. And you say, honey, I don't want you to go through that because I had to walk in those shoes. Yea, though I walk through the valley of what? The shadow of death. No matter how bad it looks, how dark it is, it's a shadow. And within a shadow, there must be light. There's light as long as he is with you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? Fear no evil. Meaning what? I won't fear any kind of evil, whether it's on the school, in the job, with my family. I don't care what it is. I'm not going to fear it. Because for the simple, fear brings fright. But for the mature, I won't fear so I can have fruit. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're my shepherd, are with me, side by side with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Rod meaning correction. Staff meaning direction. I'm glad God has a twofold ministry when dealing with me. Sometimes he got to beat me because I don't know right. Sometimes he got to lead me because I don't go right. But I am glad to be a sheep. And I'm more glad that he is my shepherd. But the question still remains the same. Is God your shepherd? And the answer to that question is, do you hear his voice? Have you heard the voice of God tonight? Are you led by God in your life on tonight? Are you one with God? Are you his sheep in his sheepfold? Are you secure in case tonight is the last night? That if he closes the gate, that you're on the inside. Don't be content with being on the outside, because at the end of time, everything on the outside will perish. Only those who are inside Christ, inside his church, inside his kingdom, inside his sheepfold will be saved. Do you want to be saved on tonight? Are you one with him tonight? Is the Lord your shepherd on tonight? Are you one with him on tonight? Let's be standing and not singing. Let's be standing and not singing. This is now your invitation. If perchance you're not a child of God. Firstly, if you are a child of God, if you are a baptized believer, and you've sinned, you've strayed, you need prayer, you need direction, you need protection, get it tonight from a God who's more than able. If you brought the church to an open shame, become one with him again on tonight. If he is your shepherd and you've lost him along the way, will you walk down these aisles and give your life back to him tonight? Now let me talk to the one who's not a child of God. I don't care if you're 14, 44, 84, listen closely. If you're not a child of God, you are in a dangerous position. If you're not in his sheepfold, if he's not your shepherd, if you have not heard his voice, there's something you must do on tonight. You must become one with the Savior. You must submit to him. You must obey him. You must come in. You must come to Jesus, and you must go through Jesus. I want to be saved, preacher. What must I do? You must first hear the word of God. You've heard me. I'm loud enough. Here's now what you must do. You must believe that Jesus the Christ is the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess that he is. And there's no other name that can roll off a mortal's tongue that is sweeter than Jesus, Acts 4 and 12. Be baptized in water, completely immersed. For the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38, and live faithful unto death, Revelation 2 and 10. Well, don't I have to tarry on the mourner's bench? You can't find that in Scripture. Well, don't you have to come and pour holy oil on me? That's not in the Scriptures. Well, what can I do to prove to you that I am ready to be a child of God? You have nothing to prove to me. Well, don't you guys have to vote me in? None of us can vote. None of us are worthy to cast a vote. Then what must I really do? Walk down these aisles. What's going to happen when I walk down those aisles? I'm going to ask you one question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? If you say yes, we're going to walk you behind those doors as a pool of water. We're going to baptize you completely. We're going to immerse your entire body. Why? Because there's a funeral and a birth that's about to take place at the same time. Man must die to his old self, become one with Christ, and be born again. But grandmama said, everything that's dead ought to be buried. If you are now dead to sin, can't nobody sprinkle that away. If you're now dead to sin, can't nobody pour that away. If you're now dead to sin, can't nobody send a prayer it away. You must be buried. But now that you've died to sin, you must now live in Christ. Therefore, in the water, it's more than just the exercise of putting one in water, but it's what's in the water that makes you alive, that changes you, that transforms you. For it was Jesus talking to Nicodemus in John 3 and 5. Unless a man be born again of water and of spirit, he cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Therefore, water is part of the plan. What goes on in the water? One comes in contact with the blood. John says there are three that bear record: the water, the spirit, and the blood. Now in the water is the blood. When one comes out of the water, they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse number 38. Meaning what? One cannot have the Holy Spirit separate from baptism. Well, honey child, we were in church today and the Spirit fell on me. Who dropped it? Well, honey, I caught the Spirit. Who threw it? Because God is not reckless with his Spirit. Well, honey, I got the Spirit. I had to jump around and shout, run around the tent 7 times. Can I tell you something? I'm going to tell you this probably every night. The Holy Spirit does not make you act up. The Holy Spirit makes you act right. They that have the Spirit don't have to act up to prove it. They who have the Spirit will act right to prove it. Are you ready to become his sheep? See, shepherds of old, what they would do is they would cut their sheep in a certain way to where everybody knew that that was their sheep. That speaks to circumcision from a biblical standpoint. Nowadays, what shepherds do is they put an indelible ink on their sheep to where they are colored in a way, because they're covered with the ink, that everybody knows whose sheep that is. Jesus is saying, I want you to come and become a sheep. Make the Lord your shepherd, and you'll receive an indelible ink that's the blood of Jesus Christ. And once the blood is covering you, everybody will know whose you are. But who will come to Christ tonight? Life is too short. Eternity is too long. And hell is too hot. Why are we standing up anyway? Because now half the decision has been made for you. Now that you're standing, will you walk? Now that you're standing, will you change? Will you become a child of God? Will you hear his voice? Will you now come to your shepherd? If this was the last time and you do not come, now you have nothing to say before God on that last day. Because God has given you a chance. Now will you take the opportunity? Now I know how we're trained in the Lord's church. We wait for the song so we can walk down. But if you got the message, you don't need the melody. If you're a child of God and you need prayer, will you come? If you need protection, will you come? If you need direction, will you come? If you're not a child of God, you want to be baptized tonight, will you come? You want to be changed and transformed, will you come? You can leave here new, but right now you must come. And you know right now your mind is made up. So let your feet now walk in accordance with your mind. Come to Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. Now will you submit to him? Walk down these aisles. Give this preacher your hand and God your heart for the rest of your life. Walk down these aisles. You know you've been wanting to do it for a long time. And you may not have the chance to do it again. Walk down these aisles right now as we sing the song.